the least, the little, and the lost. So we're going to help how many poor families each year? And how many kids are we going to minister to every week? 300. You guys are getting this. That's good. And how many missionaries do we want to send out? All right. Why do you think we would put numbers on things like that? Why would we pray and ask God for goals to set around these areas? Well, you know what it really is? It's a statement of faith. It's a statement of faith that God, you know, on our own, we cannot do these things. I mean, we can't support 100 missionaries. That's one that's the most challenging for us, by the way. We're farthest away from that goal. The 5,000 families a year, our ministry to the poor is growing so quickly that, you know, we're probably going to be there next year. You know, and it sort of grows whether we want it to or not. But, you know, some of those are very challenging. The 100 missionaries, 300 kids every week. But it's a statement of faith saying, God, we believe that in your power, with your resources, if you work in us and through us the way you want to, we will accomplish these goals. And we believe that God gave us those goals. So they're very important to us. We need to keep those in our minds. If you have your Bible, turn to Mark 11:23. This is page 693 in your pew Bible. I read a news item last week. A 28-year-old man from Long Island, New York, named Sal Bentivegna, was proclaimed to be an atheist. One day, a few months ago, he was mocking his mother's faith. And he told her, well, you know, if God is real, why don't you just pray and ask God to let you win $1 million in the lottery? Very sarcastic about it. His mother said, I'm not going to pray that. You know, my faith in God is not about getting money from God. And Sal said, okay, if you won't pray it, then I'll pray it. And out loud, he says, God, I don't know if you're real or not, but if you're real, then let my mother win $1 million in the lottery. And he sort of sarcastically added, you know, if Jesus wants me to believe in him, then he'll do it. The next day, his mother went to her church's charity auction, and she noticed that they happened to be selling Lotto Tree instant win tickets. So she bought some. Surprise, surprise, she won $1 million. Now this is not just a story. You know, you see the picture, that's Sal and his mother right there, the $1 million check. Now, I was interested to see it was not 500,000, it was not 2 million, it was 1 million, exactly what he prayed for. Sal was so flabbergasted by this whole thing when he heard about it. He realized the odds were so astronomical of this happening that he actually followed through and he became a follower of Jesus Christ as a result. He said, I just cannot shrug off the fact that Jesus had a hand in this. So, you know, I was thinking, if any of you out there are atheists, or if you even think you might be an atheist, here's what I want you to pray right now. God, I don't know if you're real, but if you are, please let Ken win $1 million. Did you pray that? God works in strange ways sometimes, doesn't he? And in fact, we're starting a new series this morning called God's Ways Are Higher. And over the next several weeks, we're going to look at some of the things that the Bible has to say that don't really make a lot of sense to us right off. That they don't really, you know, operate the way that we normally would in life or the way the world normally does it. But they do make sense to God because his ways are higher. And so, if you look at Mark 11:23, Jesus says here, truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will happen, it will be done for you. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now notice three phrases here. He says, do not doubt in your heart. He says, what you say will happen, and he says, believe that you have received it. Now, we don't completely understand this. Anybody who tells you that they really do, they're lying. They don't. But somehow, in God's kingdom, thoughts of faith in God and words that we say in faith and your belief in what God will do can bring miracles and dramatically impact your life. Now, the difficulties for Christian here is that we normally tend to do one of two things. Most of us kind of overlook this verse entirely. We just kind of ignore it. We say, well, you know, that's a nice verse, but it doesn't really work that way because, you know, I haven't seen any Christians move a mountain recently. And so, you know, I think actually some Christians are kind of embarrassed by this verse because we say, you know, I know Jesus said that, but, you know, I sort of wish he hadn't said that because if I try to actually run my life that way or do that or believe that, you know, that I'm going to end up looking like a fool. Now, there's other parts of the church that go to the opposite extreme. They try to run their lives off of verses like this, and they try to turn this verse into a formula so that, it, you know, if I just say the right words, God is like a giant genie in the sky, he'll give me whatever I want, and it doesn't really matter what my motivation is, it doesn't matter if I'm just being greedy or if I really need what I'm praying for, it doesn't matter because I just want a formula so that I can get what I want when I want it. And so we have this whole branch of Christianity, sometimes called the name and claim it crowd, and you know they're focused on health and wealth and success, and you know if you just have enough faith, then you too can have a Cadillac. Well, it's not that simple. You can't go to either extreme. That's what makes it difficult. You can't just throw out Mark 11:23 and say, well, it doesn't really work that way. You can't ignore what Jesus taught